A lawyer asked Jesus a question to test him. Now, it's not the only time that sentence is found in the Gospels. Do you know why California has the most lawyers in the nation and New Jersey has the most toxic waste dumps? New Jersey got the first choice. What is the difference between a catfish and a lawyer? One is a bottom-dwelling, slimy, scum sucker, and the other's a fish. There are more priest jokes, believe me. But lawyer jokes are abundant, and of course, all you lawyers out there know that I'm just kidding, right? Right? They're all sitting on this side for some reason. I figured that today it might be good to start with a joke that had nothing to do with my sermon, because today is Stewardship Sunday, as we mark the beginning of making plans for the coming year. And besides, the gospel isn't much help this morning. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That really doesn't have anything to do with stewardship, does it? But instead, another Sunday invitation to talk about that love thing. Now, this is my 9th stewardship sermon at Holy Nativity. And I'm not sure I've got anything left to say when it comes to stewardship. This is a wonderful parish. Incredible things happen here. We are healthy. We continue to grow. We're different. We consistently make a difference in the world around us. And I think we are truly a faithful reflection that the church is not here to serve us as members, but instead to call us to serve the world around us, to arouse us from our routines, and to become a new people who we couldn't be anywhere else than here. That is amazing to me, and I am honored to be a part of this community. 2 weeks ago, I preached a sermon about being astonished. Since so many of you, believe me, weren't here because it was fall break weekend, I want to repeat just a small part of it because it has everything to do with what today is all about. See, I was in a meeting, and the following question was asked. When was the last time you were astonished? Now, think about that. It's harder to come up with an answer than you might think. And if you're like most people in that group, coming up with an answer was frankly harder than it should be. But one person in the group gave an answer that made me pause and caused me to think. When was the last time you were astonished? And this person simply said, I'm astonished every day. With a look of bewilderment on his face as to why we all didn't feel the same way. Are you astonished every day? And if not, why not? How do we become so cynical or busy or bitter or wounded or certain or exclusive or just maybe even indifferent that we fail to be astonished every single day? Why were we born at a particular place and time to particular parents? Why now and not in some earlier time or century? Why do we spend our lives in freedom in the wealthiest country in the history of the world and not in a place where food and shelter are but a dream? Why are you you with a particular intelligence and gifts and talents? Is all this just chance or fate or the accident of our birth? I don't know. But be astonished by it every single day and be grateful. And it is that gratitude that allows us to give of what we have. I walk into this place every single day. I take in the beauty of this place we call home. And I remember how far we've come in these 9 years. And I'm astonished. I walk out those doors. I see a shopping cart full of food that serves as a reminder that 102 kids in need each week receive food for the weekend from you. And just for perspective, First Methodist up the street, a much larger church than us, they serve 25 children each week. I'm astonished. I see a group who once a month graciously gives of their time to prepare and serve a meal to those in need, and sometimes to those who just need a friend. And I'm astonished. I look around every Wednesday evening to the ever-growing numbers of people who are coming here for worship and see the pure joy of worship and fellowship and youth group and children's programs and EFM. And I'm astonished. And I see people throughout the week who gather to try to learn just a little more about our God and Scripture, and who feel free to doubt and question and sometimes even change their minds. And I'm astonished. I see people who walk through these doors and so graciously, humbly, and often disproportionately give of their time, talent, and treasure, and I am astonished. I see people caring for each other in so many, both public and private ways, not out of a sense of duty or of obligation, but out of true love. And I am astonished. I see people walk in these doors, people who are searching for something that they may not even be able to define. And I see them find a home because they see something different here and feel invited to find their place at the table. And I am astonished. I see a place where instead of focusing on how sinful we are and how we don't measure up, we celebrate. We celebrate every single time we gather that we are forgiven children of God, and I am astonished. And I see a generation of children growing up who will know the church not as a place of obligation or of turmoil or of hypocrisy, but a place of true love and joy and happiness. And I am astonished. And why in God's name would we not want to use our resources for such a place to flourish amidst the thorny soil of this world? Of course, it would make sense just to say to keep doing what we're doing, keep giving what we're giving, if things are so good. But staying where we are is dying. There's the non-glamorous part of being the church. Power bills that go up every year. Supplies cost more. There are employees of the church who run the ministries that make us who we are and who would probably like a small raise next year. I'm not talking about myself, or at least not a cut in pay, and I am talking about myself. But there's also so much more need out there where we, you and I, could be the answer to someone's prayer. Where we can change the world one precious soul at a time. And unless you have Bill Gates kind of money, what we do knitted together in community is infinitely greater than what we can do on our own, the vows of our baptism. This year, I want you to do something different when it comes to stewardship. I want you to forget about tithing. Forget about it. I don't want you to even consider the average pledge in the parish. I don't want you to give a thought to the idea that all we have is from God and we are called to give back. Don't even think about the extent to which you believe that. Now, I bet you've never heard that in a stewardship sermon. Forget about tithing. Tithing goes back to the biblical standard of Abraham and is about giving 10% of what you have, and very few people do it. Instead, just figure out what percentage of your income you are giving. And then set a goal. Maybe increase it 1% a year or whatever. 1%, 2%, 5%, whatever. You won't miss that amount of money in your budget. It'll be so small. But in community, that amount can make all the difference in the world. Now, here are some facts about us. Last year, we lost $28,000 in pledges from people over the age of 65 who are retired. That's understandable. We'll continue to see that. We lost $23,000 from relocation, moving, or from death. Pretty typical as well. And we received only $17,000 in new pledges. But the reason our budget remained stable is that we received $37,000 in increased pledges. Mostly small and seemingly insignificant increases, but together they made all the difference in the world. Each year we publish the average pledge in this parish, which is pretty good. But we're not going to do that this year because we're not average. And we don't want to be. Is there any part of your life other than the church that calls you to be average? Instead, let's just be extraordinary. And whether you believe all you have is from God or that you work to earn it or a combination of the two is not something I could solve in a sermon, but instead can only be addressed between you and your God in the silence of your heart. Instead, this year, when it comes to stewardship, I want you to think about yourself. I want you to be totally and completely self-centered. Hadn't heard that one in a stewardship sermon either, have you? Generous people. People who give generously change the world. They connect their lives with the lives of others, and they find this soul-sustaining satisfaction and enrichment and joy that cannot be found in any other way. Many years near Christmas, there's a family in this parish who gives me 5 envelopes with $100 in each envelope, and they ask me to give it away. Oh my God, there is no greater joy. There is no greater joy than giving that away and seeing the faces of those who receive that gift. Giving makes a difference to another person, but just as importantly, it changes you. It changes you. It fills us with joy. It creates perspective. It explodes the toxic myth of scarcity. It knits us together. It heals our brokenness. It makes us more complete, and it brings us closer to God and makes us a better reflection of his love. I promise you. But more importantly, God promises you. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest of first commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself." On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I said it had nothing to do with stewardship. But if you think about it, it has everything to do with stewardship. Because none of us can come close to that great commandment without first giving of ourselves. God love you. Amen.